February 29, 2020, it's a Watt from Pedro show. Watt from Pedro Show. Happy Leap Day. This only happens every 4 years. And 20 years ago this day, I had a surgery that saved my life. So I only have to go through the shit every 4 years. This is going to be the fifth one now. Yeah, illness. You can look on the Hoot page. I talk about it a little. But the main thing is I lived. I was only fucking 42 years old. A lot of work to do still. And I did get my second opera out of it, Second Man's Middle State. So it wasn't all for total nightmare, but it was tough. I'm here in my pad, Pedro, but not man alone, because thanks to those incredible engineers in Estonia with their Skype software, all the way from Bakersfield, I got Brian and Matthew from Ghost Dance. Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
It's good to be here, man.
How you doing?
Yeah, well, now I met you. I think it's going on 2 months now.
Yeah. 2 months. December 14th.
Yeah, so it's over 2 months. MSSV played in Bakersfield, which was I hadn't played Bakersfield in so long. I got to make that more regular. That's bullshit.
Dude, yeah, please.
D-Boone lived there as a boy. His pop ended up spending the rest of his life there. And, you know, so I make a lot of visits to his pop. And but I got to make visits there now, these days, to play gigs. And this gig in particular was with the band. Well, it was with a couple of bands. But I got talking with the guys in Ghost Dance. So who wants to go first with this? I want to go through your journeys through music.
Right here, Brian.
Brian, what's your earliest musical recollection?
My cousin always tells me I was super into Green Day Dookie album. Like, before I can even, like, remember, like, but he just said I always wanted to listen to that.
What about in a pad? Were your parents or brothers, sisters into music? Was there instruments?
We had a piano in the house, and I took piano lessons.
Oh, really? And when did you take piano lessons? How old were you?
I was about, I want to say 7 or 8.
How long did you do it?
Maybe about like a year, but I was more interested in kind of like just hanging out with my friends and stuff at the time, so I wasn't super into it.
What about school? Were you in the band? Were you in the choir, the marching band, shit like that?
I decided at one point, cause I mainly play guitar mostly, like I start, and, but I was like, I really want to try jazz piano. So I actually, went to BC, Bakersfield College, and, joined the jazz ensemble and did music classes there, and worked with Chris Tyner, and, Chris Tyner, like, kind of really opened my eyes to, like, the possibilities, like, of where I can take music, you know?
Is he related to McCoy?
maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, he's the only one left of the quartet, you know. McCoy Tyner, incredible piano man.
Yeah, for sure.
Ryan, I was talking more about grade school and junior high and high school.
No, like, honestly, I kind of stayed away from it because, like...
That's okay, because I asked because a lot of schools have cut their music programs.
Yeah.
Yes, so that. I'm just curious, you know, I think schools should have music or all kinds of art programs, you know. And some people think that's kind of like, yeah, you don't really need that shit. So they've cut the programs. For example, Aflee started his Silver Lake Music Conservatory because when he went back to Fairfax High where he went, they had eliminated the program.
Yeah.
So that's why I ask. I'm just curious. You know, everybody's got a different path through music, and I have yet to really find anybody with the identical paths, you know what I mean? There's all kinds of things, so that's why I ask these kind of questions. What was the first record you bought? Was it Dookie by Green Day?
No, I want to say it was like a band called Newfound Glory or the Ataris. Like, I was really into that, like, pop-punk thing for a while. Like, that's the first one I remember, like,
yeah,
buying.
But, Dookie, Green Day is not pop-punk?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, that is, but, like, I just don't remember, like...
I'm just guessing. I wasn't there, Brian, so you gotta tell me.
Yeah, for sure. I don't remember like
that's
listening
okay.
to
that's
that.
Okay. What about the first gig you went to?
The first gig I went to.
Echo in here.
Let me think.
Zach, you have to think about that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's no wrong answer, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just trying to remember, like,
yeah,
who it was.
You can't. That's cool. You know what I want to play here? Jazz Punk Kill My Parents.
Thank you. bubbling hopes of cloud-like lightness are the newborn's dream. Caressed with pastel comfort offers an odyssey of confidence and will. While at first the farthest horizons rush forward to kiss and clean, nourishing with surety and smartly love a heart thereby instills. Then, in authenticity streams like embalming cream from step one, up to the last falter, encasing from face to heel displacement seams. Encoded are the sweet nothings and bird chirps, wind born for fun, drilling insidiously through puffing suns, aglow with nauseating steam. As wobbly stretches of illusion shimmer before every eye, into slivers of breaking points with nary a dull face surprised, while watching aliens and avatars tell beautiful stories of well-oiled skies, yet still sleeping in the planter box are remnants of science in disguise. Wriggling dire propaganda seeds grow without water nor air. Warring for gray matter, crenellations who cannot engage in time, while 1, 2, 3 locking binary controls slip without gears or care, onto a math that does not add up until thoughts become the crime. Godly speech on the wind falls out of tune, into ones and zeros. Numbers on the wing boasting half-truths and to burn it all out. That's when cheap whores weaponizing the web and throes of slavish abandon, pens inking their holes with rubberized snouts. Towers twine twixt power versus truth, vying their message out to sleuths, voicing horned, hairy hate through rotting flowers of thorned guilt, gilled by guilt, where no shame for the blame, bashing stars into dust under shoddy shoes, rather tainted rewards coined from a post-use of milk blithely spilt. Litters of clit glitter, pinked by the sheer notion of hearing hats speak, in motion like oceans not yet seasick enough to heave within the hive, loving instead to covet inside each new implant yet to be tweaked. Oh, kitty's got claws, but no pause for the cause, outside wherever we thrive. Hang on, motherfucker, or else you'll lose the love of your life.
Are you calling me a watch? Did you spill my pie? Shit the bed, can I? Not have someone. Can I have someone over there, Charles? Not exactly what I meant. Someone who isn't superb. Are you calling me a watch? Because I'm not a great timekeeper.
Superfluous to my requirements.
We are all brown ale. Is there any donkeys? I'll tell you what, it's 2100 hours.
All lambs.
Next week. It's been that time before. It's going to be it again.
Charles, chuck me.
Fridays only. Next time, maybe.
Smoking contagious wounds. Stagger out of soon. Stop tissue size, my karma. Try not to.
Wake up, Satorio. See what happens next. Wake up, Satorio. Wait, just send a text. Look close, you'll give us a puppy. Learn how to get slim fast. LOL, learn how. Hashtag YOLO. Lots of blast, lots of blast. Lots of blast, lots of blast. Clear your money blocks. Push baby names to free healing class. Red or blue belt, bucket list results. Have the last laugh. Lick wash yoga pants and puppy. Learn how to get slim fast. LOL, lolo mouth. Hashtag YOLO. Lots of blast, lots of blast. Lots of blast, lots of blast. Dopamine and serotonin. Oxytocin too. All behind the bars and the feel good back to zoo. Dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin too. Log it on for likes when there's better things to do. Got to leave the feel good back to zoo. Got to leave the zoo.
useless. I should spend my time doing art. Love me if I was a child. Give me if I was a child. So do you have a message? The people of Oxford. The rivers just get more and more polluted. No way! No way! No way!
Show. You heard Jazz Punk Killed My Parents, Ghost Dance, and then Breaking All the Hall of Mirrors by Chris Skoger out of Austin there. Light from Tokyo with Blizzard. Bill's Pump out of Leeds. Malcolm, Trotsky Ice Cat pick out from SoCal here, Karma Suture. I think first new music in like 20 years for those guys. Wet Cigarette out of Canada with Sweden. Lip Gloss, Yoga Pants, and Puppies by Panther Paw. That's Brighton, England. Midwife with Swim. Acronym. And I can't remember where they're from. Shit. But I know Lucy Lee's from England. And finally, River. Well, how did you get into guitar, Brian?
Honestly, like listening to like Newfound Glory and all those bands, like it's funny because when I listen to those bands now, I don't like them, but like they're the reason I kind of got into wanting to play. But what really got me like super inspired is the first time I heard Machine Gun by Hendrix. Like well, that was like the first time I've ever heard like the electric guitar played like that.
Band of Gypsies.
Yes, like such an incredible performance.
You know about that album. That album is the first gig they did, the second set of the first gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of balls out, right?
No, for sure. And, like, that's, okay, like, so I've always just wanted to... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You probably didn't know that when you heard it. I didn't know it for many years. You know, because it's pretty bitchin', Buddy and Billy. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So what was the first guitar you got, and when did you get it, and how?
The first one I got would be like a cheap acoustic from, I lived in Merced. I'm sure you're familiar with Merced.
Sure.
I don't remember, it was called Ingram's Music, and they had these like, you know, I just wanted to play guitar, and luckily my parents like supported that, and they bought me a cheap acoustic, but I remember my first electric was a Samick.
Now, when they got you the acoustic, was it a dealio like, if we get you this guitar, you got to take lessons?
No, really, it wasn't.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I was actually the one that wanted to do it all myself, and like they just were super supportive and kind of just let me do my thing.
Did you do lessons?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know. You have to tell me, man.
For sure. I did it with a guy named Perry. I've actually been trying to find him. But anyway, yeah, like, he just really inspired me and taught me about playing lead and, like, all these different techniques and everything and showed me a bunch of different music.
That's great. I mean, teachers are incredible influences on us, of course. And sometimes not so positive, but it sounds like Perry did good for you.
Oh, yeah, man. I wish I could find him again just like to just think of
him. What was the first gig you played?
First gig would be at my high school in Atwater called Buhat Colony. Like, my friend and I, we had a band called Buddhistava, and we did, like, a thing at, like, one of the rallies or something like that.
Okay. Was it good? Was it scary?
It was pretty scary, man, you know, like getting in front of the whole school like that.
I know. Still scary for fucking me.
Yeah.
And I was in the basement of that pizza pad with you. Still scary, all these years.
Right?
Well, some dudes ain't scared, so that's why I ask. But that's great. Yeah, you got through it, though.
And
you kept for on sure. keeping on. Okay, didn't, like, freak you out, like, I ain't doing this shit anymore.
No, I got, like, positive feedback.
Let's get Matthew on board. Matthew.
Hey, how you doing?
What was your earliest...
Sorry, you're cutting out there. What would you say?
Yeah, well, you give me a chance to talk, and I'll ask you.
God.
What is your earliest musical memory?
I'd say my mom and my stepdad at the time actually gave me a mixtape of anything from the Godzilla score to freaking Michael Jackson to... like some wacky tunes from different things, and then like the Bad Boys score, and then like Beverly Hills Cop score, and different things like that. And that's kind of like where I started to like actually listen to music. I mean, they gave me 4 CDs of over like 80 different songs from so many different genres, ranging from like the 60s through 90s.
Are these CDs and, that they made themselves? Because you said mixtapes, so I'm thinking cassettes.
No, actually, they're CDs they made themselves. So, like, I think for like my 7th or 8th Christmas or something, they gave me a CD player with 4 CDs, and they just said, let's just go nuts. And so I listened to those. It was like an old CD player Walkman.
Well, old for you.
Yeah, well, old for me.
I didn't get a CD player until... Fuck. Maybe might have been the early 90s. I didn't get one for a long time, yeah. Let me ask you. In the pad, was there instruments? I asked Brian this. So did you grow up with something to play? Because you got into drums.
Yeah, absolutely. So my dad is a drummer already, and I've been singing. Okay.
Runs in the family.
Yeah, so my dad is a drummer. My brother's been playing guitar and drums for a long time. So instruments was kind of always around the house. But my dad bought me my first drum kit and a guitar for $360, a 5-piece kit with cymbals and everything. Across the street from where we lived, because I grew up in Visalia, and he just gave it to me, and he just put it in a room, and he's just like, go ahead and play. And I wanted to play guitar like Green Day at the time. I thought I would be able to play like Billy Joel Armstrong, but then I realized guitar made my fingers hurt, so I immediately went to drums. And
let me ask you, before you got this drum set and this guitar, was there a drum set in the pad?
Yeah, my dad had this drum set, but I didn't really want to learn it.
Let me ask you.
Go ahead.
Did you ever get on that drum set and play it yourself?
I did a little bit, but I didn't really want to learn it. I was just more interested in other stuff at the time.
So did he have, like, a practice room?
No, my dad just set up in the living room because he had his own band that came in.
So they would practice in your living. So you grew up with a band practicing at your pad.
Pretty much, yeah. My dad practiced with multiple different people, had people come in and out. He would go over to their house. I would go over to their house and listen to their music. I mean, he played anything from blues to jazz, and I loved it all. I loved hearing the music. I wasn't interested in it at the time. So
you liked it, but you weren't interested in it.
I liked it, but I wasn't interested in playing it yet. So.
The drums.
Yeah, the drums.
Okay. Yeah. So what made you get on the drums?
So my dad bought me the kit.
Because your fingers hurt.
Yeah, because my fingers hurt. And
holding the sticks, because a lot of my drummer friends, they end up getting big-ass blisters on their fingers.
You know, I started to get blisters after I played for a while, but at the beginning it didn't hurt as much as guitar, so I figured that would...
Yeah, guitar's got the little wires, right?
So, yeah.
Okay. Because I got friends like Bob Lee, he's got to play with fucking gloves. Romo played with gloves on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's like if you get sweat or moisture in there and the stick starts moving around, it starts like kind of making blisters and shit.
Yeah, that's happened to me before.
Yeah. What kind of grip do you use? Traditional or match?
I'm definitely match, but I'm learning jazz in school right now, and they're challenging me to do the traditional, so I'm trying to challenge myself.
You know,
yeah.
That came from field drum. It doesn't come from trap kit. Yeah, it's where these guys wore drum. You know, they're part of military and marching and shit.
Really?
Yeah, because if you think about it, the drum is sitting on the side there around your shoulder on a strap, and that's why you got the one hand holding the stick that trip you way.
Ah, I see. That makes sense.
That's
more balanced
drum.
Stuff.
It's more like for a trap kit with drums sitting right in front of you. So, let me ask you about music. What was the first record you bought yourself, like I asked Brian?
Yeah, of course. The first record I ever bought myself was two records of a band called the Naked Brothers Band back in, like, elementary school. And I was so in love with them. And I still sometimes listen to their music.
I never heard of them.
Yeah, they were big on like Nat and Alex Wolf were the two main people that were in the band, and they're actors now. They've done Hollywood movies, but at the time, they just had studio musicians just play with them, and they made some really cool music. Like a lot of their music was like a mixture between like soft rock and funk and different things. I really liked it as a kid. So.
And what was the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw, I had to think about that, but I'd say the first gig I saw was actually Willie Nelson. And my mom took me, and I remember I went to go see Willie Nelson, and I liked the show, but the drummer was really odd. Like, the drummer, like, didn't play on time, and it was kind of messing the band up, and so I was I was being a little confused about it, because I was like, what the hell, like, I play drums. I feel like I could do this, but it was cool because like
how
the guy was a legend.
How old were you at the time?
Oh geez, I was 15, 16, something like that.
Okay, so you knew you were a better drummer than Willie Nelson's drum.
I don't need to play
this
in ears.
Let me tell you, Larry, you know the guy I did the last 2 years of Stooges with. He said the same thing when he saw Ig in the 90s.
So really?
So he put his drum set in a station wagon, start fucking following him around, gig to gig, like, I can be your new drummer. And he ended up being that. It took a little while, and he almost got the shit beat out of him by the helper man, Joss, but he ended up doing most of the 90s Ig solo stuff, and it came from him not being satisfied seeing a drummer. So
wow.
It's not such a crazy story. That's okay. What do we call it? We call that critical thinking. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and especially if it's not all talk. That if you want to, and you went and learned some drums, got together with Brian, and so that's a beautiful thing. It's not just, you know, snarking on somebody from. It's like actually having a critical view and look. I'll try my part, see if I can do better. You know, not just total negativity, but also bringing some positive. So much respect to you for doing that. We're at the end of the first hour here, February 29, 2020, edition Watt Peter Show, special guest Ghost Dance. Hold tight for hour two.
You got the time to think.
February 29, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt Peter Show. Thank you.
from the stage, where only light beams play. Trombone on anchorite night, shark fry on Friday night. No fans that play too tight. This bird's getting smaller.
Yeah. whack ball, the black jaguar. Studies and praise, fasting like NASCAR. Until my wheel fall off, I ride this. Cut on my turn and signal, we're righteous. GPS from G-O-D. With bright headlights, keep me on the right street. Love is the frequency, satellite radio. Spiritually in tune, up and I can see your halo. These bars was written by Jehovah, the Holy Ghost writes. So lyrically I'm Christ. Pay homage to the hip-hop Muhammad. Let them know what time it is, guys. Watch his TikTok insert. The last hour, we call it revelations. When it air resurrects, mental elevation. One love, one God, one nature. The mailman, I deliver you this salvation.
Special delivery, special on screen, they deliver you from misery. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, verse 1. Yell and holla, I'm far, black, I'll be working overtime. The messenger is made of
real mind. Allahu Akbar, the black jack, black jack. Universal, sun, moon, and stars. I mastered my degrees, took my time to this. I'm not a rap artist. I'm similar to a minister, but not be saying rhymes. So please pay me time. The messenger ran the circuit. The teacher, yet the student still learned it. The guy to rap, nothing spooky. Now watch me make sanctified women out of groupies. I give the closed-minded room keys to the house of God inside of my cool. Life is a thought and it's manifestation. So don't mistake imagination as imagination. One love, one God, one nation. The mailman, I deliver you the salvation.
Special delivery, special Sunday, deliver you from misery. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, verse 1. Of the key. I'll be working overtime. The messenger is here to free your mind.
I learned that there's an essence in black people that if you touch it right and bring it forward, that same black man that's doing what he's doing today will do something greater tomorrow. Malcolm is one of the best examples that he went all the way down to selling our women and selling drugs and pimping and robbing. But when he got a message that touched deep inside of him, Malcolm the pimp became Malcolm the professor, the teacher, the leader. And that's what's sitting up in these rappers. We'll never become a great nation without our artists. Our artists are the key, not only to the liberation of black people, but the liberation of humanity itself.
White sneakers, looking for a place to eat that don't look lonely. And the dirt was there before, 'cause I like sneakers more than shoes with broken legs. And when I tighten them this morning, all the taste of that bright kitchen, it escaped me. I didn't have time to find it, and without you there had nothing to say. Walking so fast towards something, I forgot to run away from all the rest. Whichever way they take me, well, I would rather rise with you inside my stairs. And there's a thread in this three pieces, and it is loosened by the thought of the surroundings. Everywhere I wear it, it records the distance from the one I'm missing. And I have trained it not to listen to the clocks that ticks away with my arrival. And I've ordered yet another. It should be ready for wearing yesterday. I'm walking so fast towards something, forgot to run away from all the rest. Whichever way they take me, well, I would rather last with you inside my stairs. So walk on now. what's inside my chest. Anticipate your lips like ever for the lightning. And it warms my blood so constantly. I hear you call me constantly. And my lips, they radiate your heat. And when they sing, I hear you speak inside me. All the distance seems to fade away each time I close my eyes. Walking so fast towards something, I forgot to run away from all the rain. Whichever way they take me, but I would rather last with you inside my stay. I'm talking so automatic, I can't seem to figure out why I keep speaking. Whenever silence follows, but I won't follow it till I can hear you sleeping.
Peter, our show start off the second hour with Ghost Dance, of course, doing Three Lefts to Make a Right. Dan Jones and Squids out of Kansas City with my favorite lounge. The Healers out of Illinois. Here, Indiana. Hospital. DJ Wright writes out of here with the Mailman. Andre Vita, he's living in Berlin these days in my Steps. That's a tricky name. And finally, Mario DeSandro, Exit. He just moved to SoCal here. I saw him at the Sardine last week. People, we didn't finish up with Maddie. We got to learn about his first gig. Tell us about the first gig.
Yeah, so I played with this, I played with my band, my first band ever, called Heavy Vinyl. It was me and this other guy playing on guitar. And we were like a rock and roll duo, like garage rock. Like we were very inspired by Black Keys and White Stripes and different things like that. And we played our first gig.
You're trying to tell me that you had no bass player.
We didn't have any bass player.
Which is the same thing
Same thing.
Ghost
with
dance, yeah. It's okay.
No, okay. You
know, I got kind of a position on that, but it's okay. you know what I'm thinking.
So,
you know what I'm thinking. Play... Here, let me tell you. It's just very simple.
Okay.
I know there's more room in the van, but then I'm thinking that poor, lonely kick drum.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, that, yep. Anyway, so,
tell me about the gig.
So, we played at this place called Pyrenees, and actually, Brian and his band at the time, Gadfly, actually, played there first, and we went to go see them, and we loved them. We loved that venue, we loved them, their music and everything, so...
Did you know him yet? You only knew him as a music guy, right?
I'm sorry?
Did you know Brian yet, or you just knew him?
We already had met.
I've met
a little while now, and so, but yeah, so we actually, we played the show at Pyrenees, and I remember my bandmate at the time, he was so nervous, and I was so ready. It was like a combination between his nervousness, and I was like, we'd been practicing our music for over 2 years at this point. This is our first gig. I was ready to rock and roll. He was super nervous, but we played the show, and we blew him out of the water. I felt like we did great.
And this was heavy vinyl.
This was heavy vinyl, yeah.
Did heavy vinyl make any recordings?
We got a little bit of recordings here and there, but,
You should flow it to me, I'd like to play that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, like I can show you some stuff, so.
Okay, you know what, I want to play, the Condescendo, no, the Condescender.
Yeah.
Condescendor.
Right? Condescendor.
Yeah.
Okay, great title.
Thank you. radio, dođi na stadion, jebeš Max TV, stream ili radio, medijski lič je svoje uradio, mnogima već se sve to zgadilo, treba maskirat te nedostatke, neplaćeni igrače bačeni u vatre, nam je štajke poznate svima, a ti ima vatre, ima i dima, djeca su gladna, treba prehrani, to biste pa kad banda ti predstavi tu kesu devisa, da loše odigraš, pustit ćeš nekomu, boli te briga, vladaju lobby, HNS banda, visoko politikom, par stranka, pa skreću pažnju na problem navijača, dok narod na rubu je gladi i plaća, bez broj harača, sećaja, slučaja, brdo nezaposleni, sa stručnjaka, dok zemlju vode, ovdje redikuli, isto je u sportu, slični su likovi, sve je to lana, ruka ruku mije, kredibilitet je lagano ubijen, ljudi gube nadu, previše afera, premalo putnika, previše šofera, pravoga sporta, više ni nema, premalo radosti, previše problema, mafiju spašava par delikventa, zbog kojih kažu je poslije dekadenta, drkaju pandure, tuku i cure, preko represije, tjeraju ljude, a neko trlja ruke dok Pedro visi, mogu reći sva sreći, živimo u Istri, gdje još ljudi, ima na tribini, pa uvijek je lijepo na Aldo Grozini, i zato ću reći, Bukovski izvini, postoje problemi ljubi i bitni, od par huligana, ako ne vidiš, zna se, uloži, sjede oni fini, a ti isti fini su i doveli do ovoga, represija je roditelj otpora.
Thank you.
My Frapigo show, yeah, the Condescendor Ghost Dance. And a lot of stuff, people, just got recorded because after seeing him play or sharing the stage with him in Bakersfield there, I asked him to be on the show after the gig. And so, yeah, but what? We don't have much. I remember you guys gave me a CD with three tunes. You know, I said, well, record some more. And so they did, people. And this is it. Then we had the Bernays Propaganda of Skopje, Macedonia, with the Kirkana Glado, Dajgor from Ned Omic Cooperative. That's another Balkan. I think he's living in Italy now, though. And Trieste, brother Ned. The Opium Trail. This is a friend of Bob Tegan's in Detroit. And this guy from the 60s. Some guys from Scotland. They were in kind of a cover band, which was a lot more in those days, I think. High Time Baby. And finally, Ghost Dance with High Winds. So, Matt, you were just enlightening me the fact that you and Brian had already known each other.
But yeah.
When do you get together and make the Ghost Dance?
Yeah, so I was playing with Heavy Vinyl at the time a little bit, and he was playing with Gadfly. And we were kind of going, doing our own thing, and then my band Heavy Vinyl kind of disbanded a little bit, and then Gadfly kind of disbanded a little bit, kind of going back and forth, and we were like, hey, let's make a band together. We really like each other's playing, we really like each other's stuff, and like, I really liked his guitar playing in Gadfly, and he really liked my drumming, and we wanted to jam, so we got together and we jammed a little bit, and he showed me his songs that he was working on outside of his band, and I kind of took a liking to him, and I just started playing drums with those songs, and then we kind of just hit it off, and we've been playing for like, I don't know, 3 years now?
It's been 3 years.
Yeah.
So. Now, if I was to like hear or be at a gig with Gadfly and Heavy Vinyl and Ghost Dance, because all three of those units are they're duos, right? Guitar, drum duos.
Actually, no. So Gadfly happened to be a three-piece.
Ah, they did have a bass player.
Yeah.
We did. And we're actually talking to the bass player from Gadfly about coming in and playing with us.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
See, what I'm trying to get at is how was the evolution? Or if maybe not an evolution. Maybe it's more of a synthesis, this kind of instrumental music you guys were doing apart and then together now?
Yeah, like, I mean, the only reason that we don't have a bass player is just because, like, they're hard to come by, really, honestly. And
yeah,
so,
it's true.
Like, but, so Matt and I just really like the tunes we're working on, and so we just keep been working on them until, like, we found an opportunity or the right bass player, you know?
Yeah, but I thought this guy's from the old days. How did you find this guy for Gadfly? What's his name? I shouldn't be calling him this guy.
Dominic.
Yeah, Dominic. How did you find Dominic?
Through Craigslist, actually. Yeah. I was like,
is that
surfing
right?
There because they.
It is hard to find them.
No, it is like it's
no,
like,
no. I believe it. You know, yeah, in the old days, real old days, if you really wanted a gig, you played bass if you were a guitar man because everybody wanted to do guitar.
Exactly.
True.
So if you wanted to be in demand, I mean, some of these guys turned into. Well, I shouldn't say guys, but people like Carol Kay, Joe Osborne, incredible bass players, started as guitar players because that's where the work was. So you find Dominic through Craigslist.
Yeah, like I don't know if Craigslist still does it, but like you can do like musicians for hire or people looking for bands, you know.
Okay. What about, yeah, in my day there was something called the Recycler. It was a pink paper at the 7-Eleven. You could put ads in there for free.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the thing cost 75 cents, but the ads were for free, and that's how you got all your music stuff, your car stuff, fucking everything you got out of there. And Craigslist is kind of internet version of that, I think. But anyway,
yeah.
let me get to this point. Why did Gadfly, who weren't you getting along with? If you want to bring Dominic in, it must have been a problem with the drummer, right?
Well, it's, oh, man.
I want to stir up any drama or anything.
No. It's not really drama. It's just like, you know, like when you get to a point with like playing with people, like you really love playing with them, but like you have to make a decision, like, is it something to hold on to kind of a thing? Or do you, like, for your own personal interest, do you, like, you need to move on and do something different?
Yeah, I can relate.
Yeah, so like it was kind of just like that. Like we weren't making progress like I wanted to.
It was more artistic. It wasn't personal.
Exactly.
Okay. But you ain't all fed up with Dominic. You want to bring him in?
Actually, I knew Dominic before Brian knew him. He was actually in my first band that I ever played with before Heavy Vinyl, but we just never played a show.
Okay,
we
that's all right.
Just in the garage, yeah.
Maybe the scene there in Bakersfield is kind of small. Everybody knows everybody?
Yeah, it's small, but everybody knows everybody. Like, we all like,
no, that's
play
cool.
shows together, and, like, we all talk to each other,
sure,
so.
Sure, that's great. There's nothing like community, you know?
Yeah, of course.
The worst thing is to be isolated, and you're all on your own, and, you know, especially if you want to play, you know, bands, right? Bands is more
right.
than one people. Yeah, that's a great thing. I'd like to learn more and more about Bakersfield scene.
Yeah, you should come back.
You know I am.
Yeah.
You know
I'd love to have
I didn't
you,
mean to be away for so long. And, you know, I got to say, I was really happy to see there were some fucking mind-blow explorations going with the young musicians. I really, really was impressed by you guys and the band that has no name we can remember because they never really had one.
It was a one-off band.
That's
know?
What I said. That's because they never really had one.
Yeah.
God damn, I feel so stupid about that. Because I think the guy might have been part of the way the gig got put together, maybe. I don't know. It was more of a Mike Baghetta thing, you know. But I'm really glad I got to be there. And I know D. Boone and his pop are glad that I finally rekindled the thing. For
yeah.
You know, we're at the end of the second hour, February 29, 2020, Dish Watt Peter Show. Special guest, Brian Matthew, Ghost Dance. Hold tight for hour three. February 29, 2020, is the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show. Thank you.
Straight, he saw the logical cobwebs.
Peter show. We start off the third hour with the Ghost Dance doing Baptism. And then Crane and Garrett out of here. Well, really from the hill. Drifting Currents. Guide by Voices at Bob Pollard out of Dayton, Ohio with Charmless Peters. I mean, this guy, I think he's on album 108, 107. He played a gig here on New Year's, Guide by Voices. 100 songs, 5 hours. Guys, incredible. Incredible. And then finally, Ghost Dance with Preservative Gardens. And this is something I just got. I think you guys just recorded this shit, right?
Yeah.
Because I had another tune. And then I got the word from Brian, hey, scissor that kit, that tune, and replace it with this. And yep. Damn, if it wasn't only a few seconds different in time. Ain't that a trip? You guys do play longer songs. What I'm interested in is the process, how you develop these things. How do you write? What's your composition trip?
I don't know, man. Like, I like to approach it as just kind of like, this is a riff I have, and what do you want to do with it? And then we kind of just play it a bunch of times on recording. And then Matt kind of like will go in honestly and kind of like pick the parts apart and like kind of make it a cohesive thing, really.
So what you do is you'll show them like a motif or something, some kind of a, and then you guys start jamming on that and you start adding little other motifs to it. And then he's kind of the editor.
Yeah, exactly. And then like a bit of, it causes honestly a little bit of drama because he's like, I'm like, let's just make it like raw and like just go for it. And he kind of wants to like kind of be a little more perfectionist about it. So we like honestly, when we record and write and stuff, it kind of turns into a battle a little bit.
Or you like, could call it a dynamic.
A dynamic, there you go.
Right, that's a little more calm.
That's a better word for it. But it was honestly
means is
a battle,
there's some back and forth, you know. There's some back. Because think about it, Brian. You're the originator guy, and then Matt wants to come in and then, you know, get in his share.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So, and, you know, a lot of writers use editors. I'm talking about literature shit. So why not music, too?
Sure.
Right? Now, some writers, I know Mr. Faulkner hated editors, but some people really like it because, the kind of diarrhea, right? And they need a cat to, like, filter out the maybe not as strong shit.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe that's Matthew's in there. But also, if I can throw in some my opinion, because I come up with motifs too, like you, Brian. But then you really flesh it out when I show Raul or Jerry, you know, the drummer man. Because the drummer man, they have to bring the beat to it, right? And you want you want it to sound kind of natural, not too robot man, right? Not too stiff, right? So there's a feel thing. It is a dynamic thing. Of course, he don't know what to play to until you bring it to him, but then you don't know really how you're going to play it together until he's on board, right?
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Everybody's got different processes. Some cats, they'll make a demo. I mean, this was a drummer man in El Sueño de Marinaya with us. He would make MIDI stuff. So he's got the bass part, he's got the guitar part, you know, and he's the drummer man, right? He wrote all the parts. So there's that way of doing it, too. You guys, it sounds like more you compose by doing.
Exactly. And honestly, we kind of run into issues because I'm just using, like, a looper for the whole recording, too. Like, a little diddle looper. And, like, what you said about, like, rhythm and stuff, like, that was something Matt had to kind of work with a lot because it wasn't always perfect because I'm, like, I'm not a robot, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And he ain't either.
Exactly.
You know what I want to play here is Lamentation. Okay?
Awesome.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you.
Summer rain fell on Colonel Glenn and made the hot asphalt shine. Wade was behind the wheel and I was there by his side. Memories that I lost, dots I can't connect, are around the bend on Colonel Glenn with the cause and effect. Head on into the sun as we lost control, and I was reaching for the door as it began to fold. No, I can't explain, change it or correct was lost as we got tossed to the cause and effect. Blame it on the stars, blame it on that guys, blame it on the little mistakes, but fate still sets the price.
It seems, after these troubled times, my number is written on a wall. I have so much to share. We are both incredibly busy, but then there is no bullshit here. Unlike most relatives, we have a lot in common. My first cousin and I, we support each other's work. Both of us work the night shift, trying to rest up sometime. Our love for running conquers all. We are strong poets and good friends. No, we are more like brothers. I won't be able to visit, but I know he thinks of me. Is poetry more important than anything? You bet it is.
Lapa Pedro show, yeah, Lamentation from the Ghost Dance. For the shit we were just talking about, let's use Lamentation as an example. Give me the history of that, baby.
Kind of what happened was is Matt just set up recording. Matt did all the recording, and he just originally had just set up like my guitar with my loop pedal. I did a bunch of like soundscape stuff with like some motifs and stuff, and then we just kind of went in there and like added a bunch of textural stuff with like keyboards and stuff. And I think it was actually like four different takes, and Matt was able to take like all of them and make it like this cohesive thing. And I love how it came out personally.
You mean, so that you were actually edited in parts. Do you remember a song called Frankenstein by Edgar Winter Group?
Yeah.
You know where they got the title?
No.
Because it's an instrumental, right?
Yeah.
Here, I could refresh your memory. Ba 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 ba. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a fucking half hour, 40-minute song, and they chopped it all up into a little 2-3-minute single, even with drum solo, right? If this was the 70s, and you didn't have a lot of drum solos. You still don't have a lot of drum solo songs on the AM radio, but you did with Frankenstein. And they did it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. At the end of the day, it's stuff coming out of the speakers. And the way you guys came about to get it, hey. But I'm curious because I'm a fellow music person like you, and so I'm curious about that. So after Lamentation, we heard a Zigzag with They'll Never Take Us Alive. This man, Jed, he said he had a lot of problems with what his music's called. Like they call it metal punk. Maybe it was overseas or something. He said, yeah, they were really interested in the label. What about you guys? If you get asked what you're playing, do you care about it having a name, a label, a genre or some tag or some shit?
Do you want to take this first, Matt?
I'd say, like, we... I wouldn't say it's any specific genre or label. I mean, if anybody asked, I would just give them, like, references to other bands. But I also feel like we have elements of jazz and we have elements of, like... Because there's a lot of improvisation in a lot of what we do. And then it's also, I feel that Brian plays a lot of atmospheric ambient noise, but it's also, like, rhythmic, too. So I'd say, like, a mixture between jazz and...
Can I ask you about a label that might have been used on you guys?
Sure.
Math Rock?
Interesting.
Has anybody?
I know what Math Rock is, but I just would have never personally put that on us. Okay. So that's cool.
Because it's kind of a blurry label anyway. It means a lot of parts or some shit.
Yeah.
Well, Robert Fripp. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck it means, but I. It seems instrumental music gets this tag.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, Brian, what's your idea of Ghost Dance? Does it need a label? Does it need a tag, a name?
I feel like from like a advertising point, like where that even kind of gets weird for me.
Yeah,
it does. But like, I don't know. I've always just kind of wanted to blend genres and like not have that label.
I just
try to pull elements, from different things, because I also like feel like it's. It keeps things interesting, like, if you're not just playing, like trying to stick to, like, one style or something and putting that label on yourself, so...
So, like, a swing band or a ska band or...
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
like,
because Mike Baghetta, the guy that I played with when I shared stage with you guys, or the deck, he wants to call his thing post-genre, like, after labels.
Post-genre?
I thought that was an interesting idea. Yeah, like, you know... It seems like that shit is like for marketing men. They're dealing with little children who don't know how to deal with music, and you have to like kind of package it for them. Fuck that shit. Music's music, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
So that's what, yeah, because in a sense, what I get from Ghost Dance is liberation, and you know, not having to fit into some kind of thing like that. Now, what's you guys' future plan?
It's like, we're kind of talking about it. I mean, what we really want to do is, we want to keep recording.
Right? You want to get Dominic.
What's that?
You want to get Dominic.
Well, yeah. We need that low end, man. And you actually kind of like said something about it at the show, like, man, like you need that low end, you know. And it's true.
I told you I got a bias though. Not the most fair-minded person when it comes to bass.
Man, because like it just brings so much fullness to the sound. Because on Condescendor, actually, Matt, I wasn't even here. He just like, hey, check it out. Like I laid down a bass line.
Yeah, I actually put a bass line down on Condescendor.
Matthew, you played a bass guitar on that?
Yeah, yeah. I do play a little bit of bass myself.
All right, respect.
Yeah. But when I heard it, like, the original recording, I was like, this is cool. But when he did the bass, I was like, man, this is like...
Ryan,
this is...
you know a guitar man from the city, San Francisco, Charlie Hunter?
Okay.
This guy's got, like, two or three bass strings on the top of his guitar.
Ha!
So he, like, plays both the shit, yeah.
That is so sick.
Check him out. Charlie Hunter. He's been around since maybe late 70s, early 80s or something.
Yeah, we should.
Actually, got to start doing.
Honestly,
he got to start doing like quote math rock versions of Jim Brown, you know, funk.
That's cool.
So it's kind of trippy, kind of thing. I think they wore fezes too, or something.
but
look, I really like what you're doing. And
thank you.
When you do your next recording, can we come? Can you come back on the show and we talk about it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Of course, man.
We'd love to.
Okay. Because. Yeah, and then when I come to your town, I want to play with you guys again. But
yes,
especially when you get the new record, and God, if it's a threefer, God damn. Okay. There was two more songs. Chris Maxwell with Cause and Effect, and finally Ghost Dance with God's Children. It's been a big honor to have you on. Really, I want you guys to
thank you so much.
Keep on keeping on, please. Where can people find you on the internet? Can they?
Yeah, Instagram would be our main one for now. Ghost Dance.
You want to get a Ghost Dance website, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's all stuff that like we gotta get on for sure.
Fucking Bandcamp, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Okay, man. Big honor. Let's come back on the show with your round two or round three. And I'd be happy to talk with you about it.
Yeah, for sure. And it was a big honor to be with you, man.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we're team. People, it's been February 29, 2020. Keep your powder dry.